Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castile with a look at week two of the July 2015 celestial timings. And we begin this week with Mercury moving into Cancer on the Galactic Cross, exactly on the Galactic Cross. And as I mentioned at the end of week one, there is a star map that shows the approach of Mercury to the cross. And so on this day, Mercury is actually on the cross or at the center of the sacred hoop. And that means that we may be receiving transmissions from Mercury, the messenger, directly from the edge of our galaxy, and maybe messages from beyond our galaxy. We could say those are maybe like the galactic messages that are possible for us to receive at this particular time. So this is a good time for tuning in and maybe journaling or asking questions and then journaling. Oftentimes I have used this process, I don't always remember to, but it was a good reminder to come up with a question that you have that's important to you, and then just sit and be with that question and then write stream of consciousness as it comes through. I also find it helps to close my eyes, and sometimes I'll see images and then I just start writing down what images I see, and sometimes I start hearing messages. It works differently for different people, so it's a great practice. Now, it's important to know that Mercury is going through the sign of Cancer very quickly. And this is the seasonal sign. It's actually going to be going through the constellation of the twins, because that's the seasonal sign of Cancer when the sun, right after the summer solstice, the 30 days after the summer solstice, that's where the sun is going through that constellation. Mercury will enter Leo on July 23rd, so it's just about 15 days going through that sign and then through the constellation of the twins. And also on the July 8th, we'll have the last quarter moon in Aries, and it's going to be with Uranus. So we had the full moon with Pluto, now we have the last quarter moon with Uranus, activating the Uranus-Pluto square, and that is something that's still at play, because Uranus and Pluto are still very close together, within about a degree, maybe a degree and a half of each other. And Uranus will add in the unexpected, the places where, we maybe didn't know that this was going to happen or something's going to happen. And especially because we have the moon passing Vesta and occulting Uranus in the series of occultations. This is a series of 18 occultations that started last August. And so we're at like number 10, and there's still several more to go with this series. And so anytime there's an occultation, that amplifies and activates and accelerates, kind of like an eclipse, the intention. And then the moon will also be passing the dwarf planet Eris, located around 22 degrees. Uranus is 20 degrees, and Eris is around 22 degrees. So Uranus is actually getting ready to catch up to Eris. Now, this dwarf planet has, I think it's a 500-year cycle for it to return to a starting place, so it moves very, very slowly. She is very important because she was the goddess of chaos and disruption. And in the story of Paris, or the Judgment of Paris, and also what started the Trojan War, was that Eris was not invited to a wedding party, so she takes a golden apple, places it on the table, and said it's for the most fairest of all. And of course, then Jupiter or Zeus decides he can't judge, because the three that are being judged are Aphrodite, Hera or Juno, and Pallas Athena. And one's his daughter, one's his wife, and I think he's related somehow to the other. I don't remember exactly the details of the story, but there's a whole, I have in the audio archives, the whole story is there, and you might want to check that out. There's a link in the written version of the timings that you can check out, and it's a pretty cool story. But what's really awesome is to think about how chaos and disruption are part of the natural evolutionary process of life. So seeds you know, are disrupted when they break open and their little shoots come out. We oftentimes our lives are disrupted in the way that we have known them as we move into something new. And that isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's part of what needs to happen, because oftentimes the old has to go before the new can come in. Plus, you know, at this last quarter moon time, it really is about synthesizing and integrating the lunar cycle that has been in process, or some other previous lunar cycle. And Mars is also trine retrograde Neptune. So again, this week starts with a really powerful opportunity. And Mars is in Cancer, trine Neptune in Pisces. So this is the really calling to Mars to have the courage to be able to feel deeply, to have compassion for self and for others, and also to really pay attention to the dreaming, because of course Neptune brings that in as well. And the larger Mars cycle is about how do we create conscious equal partnership. So and so this Neptune time is for Mars to dream into that. How does Mars create conscious equal partnership with the divine feminine, the divine masculine, in partnership with the divine feminine, to create greater wholeness and fulfillment? Because when any part is missing, of course, wholeness is not possible. So also this week, you can notice that Venus and Jupiter are getting very close to Regulus, the heart of the lion, one of the magical Bohemian stars of ancient times. And just, you know, watching them in the evening sky, paying attention to how they're getting closer and closer to Regulus. And this is, again, something that Jupiter can only do every 12 years, to be with this star, to be near this star. And Venus in the evening sky, in this part of her journey with Jupiter, would happen potentially every 24 years. And not always will they be so close to Regulus together, even in that 24-year time period. So this is pretty special, and definitely worth, you know, asking what your heart wants you to know. That's what I wrote in the timings. What does your heart really want you to know at this time? So you can work with that. And again, working with that journaling practice that I mentioned may be helpful. And I gave an example of one that came through for me some time ago, just to kind of get you inspired about maybe doing that process for yourself. So the moon will pass by the Pleiades on July 11th as it enters Gemini, and that is Pleiades. When the moon and Pleiades are together, of course, that's amplifying that Bohemian star cluster, the magic and possibility that's connected to the Pleiades. It's also really wonderful to tune into in the sky to see what messages may be coming through around that. And then on July 12th, Venus will be at its brightest magnitude. It actually reached its greatest elongation last month and was very bright and high in the sky, but this is the brightest point in its cycle that's happening just before it goes retrograde in a couple weeks. So if you get a chance to see Venus, she of course is totally outshining Jupiter right now. It's definitely worth tuning into. And then the Sun is square Uranus, and this is signaling the time before the Uranus station retrograde. And that always the Sun is always square Uranus before the retrograde, or just after it goes direct. And squares are oftentimes when it's a possibility to have a dynamic interaction, something being illuminated. The Sun illuminates something. Uranus, the revolutionary change agent, is helping to bring into awareness, into the light of our awareness, something that may need change. And it might be something radical. It might be something very revolutionary in our reality and how we perceive things. And then the moon will be occulting Aldebaran. And this is a series of occultations that began in January. And it has to do with the 19-year moon cycle. I'm not going to go into the details of that right now. I've done that in previous recordings, and we'll do it again in later ones. But just to know that this is a series of occultations that will last until September of 2018. And each time these occultations are building upon each other. So this is the seventh one we've had this year, and it's Aldebaran, the eye, the all-seeing eye, that connects to the mind, and is also suggesting that perhaps this is an opportunity to really accelerate change in our perception and how we view things. And if we think about dreaming into a new earth, then that's a big part of that as well. So we'll have Mercury trine Neptune and the Sun trine retrograde Chiron on July 13th, and then Venus square Saturn, all happening that day. And in essence, when we take the sort of overall feeling of what's going on here, this is the possibility for a deep shamanic healing. Healing of our wounds, being able to perceive and know what those wounds are, dreaming into new ways of having those wounds become our strength, our medicine, the thing that empowers us, and no longer is the thing that disempowers us. And and Venus square Saturn is, you know, the opportunity to look at whatever limits us, whatever's holding us back around the healthy self-love, the experience of healthy self-love, which is exactly what the Venus in Leo journey is about. So Saturn is currently in Scorpio. It retrograded back into Scorpio last month. And in Scorpio is about alchemy and transformation, and to help illuminate whatever those blocks may be so they can be transformed, so there can be a death and rebirth that takes place around that, so that healthy self-love is easier to integrate and to experience. And then on July 14th, the moon will move into Cancer, so it will cross the galactic cross at the center of the sacred hoop where Mercury was when we started this week. So it's a great way to end this week. And again, transmitting the mysteries that come from beyond our galaxy. And Mercury, having just been there a few days before, that territory is still really powerful. And Mercury and Mars are just ahead of the moon in the constellation of the twins, and the moon will be moving to catch up to them next week.